Well, good morning, councilors. Welcome to the county manager meeting, 11:05, Wednesday, February 18th. Taking the opportunity today to have the Clean Water Commission report to the board. Annually, they do this, and so I'll turn the floor over to Earl Rowell with our Clean Water Program.
Thank you. My name is Earl Rowell, Clark County Clean Water Program, and today I'm going to introduce some of the members of the Clean Water Commission. Off to my far left here is Dick Rylander. He's the chair of the Clean Water Commission. And also off to my left here is Susan Rasmussen, one of the commissioner members for several years. And I'll let them take it away.
Good morning, and thank you for your time. I should note that Susan has been with the Clean Water Commission for...
Land before time.
I think she was one of the very early Clean Water Commissioners, so she probably has, without a doubt, the most tenure and thus most knowledge and experience of anybody in the group. I joined the Clean Water Commission in February of last year in a one-year temporary appointment, transcended in November of last year to become the chair. The report that you have before you, I'll just highlight a couple of things and then ask if you have any questions, and then we pose a couple of questions at the end, and if you have any opportunity to give us a bit of feedback and direction, we would appreciate it. And we've been allocated from 11 to 11:30, and we will stay within our time frame. The couple of items I would highlight from the report is that for the Clean Water Commission in 2014, it was a significant year of change. We had 5 of the 9 commissioners replaced during the course of the year, and associated with that, we had a significant loss of experience associated with the group. That also then precipitated a change in the chair and the vice chair, who were not reappointed to their positions in 2014. So we had a temporary chair who then abdicated at the end of the year, and we thus transitioned to the new chair and assistant chair. So it really was a significant year of change. Probably one of the items that stood out to us the most during the year was the opportunity to have a series of hearings associated with the proposed changes to some of the fee structures that occurred last year. And, of course, out of that precipitated your direction to staff to come back to you by this summer with some additional alternatives, both structure and amounts and so forth. The Clean Water Commission is tasked with meeting 6 times per year every other month. In 2014, we actually met 10 times during that period of time. A number of those were associated with public hearings where we took testimony from the public and in particular school districts relating to that particular topic. The other thing I would note is that if you've had an opportunity or if you don't haven't yet, you get a chance to look at this report, we sort of taking the opportunity to retask ourselves moving forward into 2015. And highlighted in this is the development of 3 working teams on special projects, but we've also gone back to the original mandate, which is outlined in 13. Earl, help me.
That's basically what he's talking about. Is in 1330A, there's a subsection which says the requirements, sets the requirements for what the Clean Water Commission shall do each year. So they're looking at that. I want to augment that and see what you guys would like to do with that in mind.
The concern that we had was that over a course of time, the Clean Water Commission perhaps had slipped away from its original mandate. We will be discussing moving forward sort of bringing that current, because this original mandate goes back to 1999, and things have changed since then, so we probably need to tighten things up a little bit and clean things up. We also changed our bylaws to change the term, the conclusion date of the commission terms to a calendar year basis instead of March of each year, only to put us in sync with the county and the Department of Environmental Services so that we weren't changing personnel partway into a new year, which affects our ability to provide valuable deliverables. So those are the things that I would highlight from this particular report. So second, I guess, would be, do you have questions? And then third would be, perhaps we can get some response to some of the questions that we posed. So questions of us? Comments?
Sorry,
comment.
I was, Dick. I was going to let you talk first, but I'm kind of excited about submitting a project to satisfy our legal obligation from the courts and from our agreement where we got in trouble with the clean water plan that we had. And we are able to submit forward a project not scheduled from Environmental Services. So I'm kind of anxious to see if you've had a chance to think about a project to submit to Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board, but I'll probably let you do that after you get done with your presentation.
Yeah, we have not at this particular point, but that's the reason for this interaction is to get some feedback on
okay.
perhaps what some special projects might be.
Okay.
I would like to just... Is
yep.
it on?
Yep.
To thank the Clean Water Commission members. That's just going to be my opening comments. I've served as a private citizen on boards and commissions, including a county commission. I know how dedicated the people are who serve on those boards and commissions and how much they give up to be able to attend regularly and participate and be part of something they're interested in and offering some guidance and leadership. So thank you to you and the other members of the board.
Pass that on. Thank you.
I second that motion. I would encourage you, if you're going to refer to any of this, to let us know where you're at, what page or paragraph, so we can track with you.
Sure.
I haven't had the opportunity to read through this yet, so I'm looking to see you navigate us through what you feel appropriate.
Okay. Specifically, I highlighted the items I think that stood out. So if you took those things away, you've probably gotten the bulk of it. And again, because the change was so significant in the board membership during the year that a number of us, myself included, have still some room, some opportunity to enhance her knowledge and experience base, which we will be working on. I think one of the concerns that was expressed in one of our recent board meetings, our commission board meetings, was that some of the members are not necessarily sure that the work that they're doing necessarily has either a lot of relevance or b a lot of value. And I think that led us to going back to looking at 1330 and saying, what are the things that we're really supposed to be doing as a core, and then what can we do in the way of special projects and things beyond that. One of the projects that was presented to you last summer, which is continuing into this year by the previous commission chair, Jim Carlson, is the Swamp Program, which is an attempt to reach out to cities and other parties within the county to identify opportunities where we can congeal different projects so that we're using resources better, that we're using monies better. At our next meeting, the first Wednesday evening in March, each of the teams that we have will be reporting the status and providing us an outline. So Swamp is one of those. Susan and I, along with Melanie Wheeler, are on the outreach team, so we're working with staff to refine a presentation that can be given in 10 to 15 minutes to groups throughout the county, and we're working on that list of groups to reach out to as well. And then we have one expert, I guess, David Meyer, who is an environmental expert, who is on the team, and his group is working specifically with DES on the effort to come up with the best possible ways to identify polluters and generate revenue. And since David is truly an expert, he's also now our representative on the TAC team. So he's bringing a level of expertise that we've not perhaps previously had. So those are the three different teams. And so we'll be getting the first set of reports at our meeting the first week of March. and then every 2 months thereafter. So those are the current teams that we have in place on the current projects. But if there are other supplemental projects that come out of those, of course, we'll be looking for that direction.
Well, Dick, I do. We kind of did a short tour to look at some of the larger areas that we had that was water retention, riparian areas and whatnot. And we were looking for that partnering to help cover some of the costs. One of the things that we were looking for are those areas that could be considered recreational areas or educational areas. And we had toured several of those, and they were gorgeous. They were beautiful. But we were closing them up to the public. And the other one that we had was one that we thought it would be perfect to combine it with our parks and open it up with a park. It was 7 acres of pretty much a floodplain with a seasonal creek down the middle. Had a small orchard on one of the slopes. And we'd had a fence around it on one side since its inception. And so we were back looking at those to open them up. And I picture little signs out there explaining what it is to help educate the people. And then my thinking is that our new partner would be the Parks Department to cover some of the costs. And I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn or if that's been shared yet.
Not aware of that particular example.
So we're kind of excited with what you're doing and the new ideas and where we're going. And we have so many possibilities. We're just excited to have you there.
I can make a statement here, too. I just recently met with the Parks Advisory Board, the PAB, last Friday. And a very enthusiastic, dedicated group. And one of the things that they were experiencing that I observed is that they've been using their grid to post agendas and minutes. And some of those say working on a particular document, creating a report, whatever. But none of those reports are there. None of those documents are there. And encourage them, show your work, include it in there. Let that be something that would bring a lot more visibility, get everybody on the same page, not only the advisory board and not only the commission, but help us be able to tune in, help the community be able to tune in, so that what you're working on isn't just simply isolated, but it's out there in the open. Because we rarely hear from the commissions, the citizen boards, and it would provide one more open channel to turn on the lights for us to be able to have easier access, not only as councilors here, but also the community, to know where are those documents, where are those reports, and just as the draft continues to take form, it's there. Everybody's on the same page. One of the things that they are attempting to do would be to better integrate all of the environmental resources, assets, amenities, for instance, to get the water jails redefined to open up out of the silos and somehow put trails around them or something, integrate them with parks and trails. And so you guys are covering some similar territories, but you could be in silos. So that integration, that opportunity to work together to somehow take those what could be viewed as liabilities and to turn them into assets that invite people to enjoy these aspects of our environment out there.
You're absolutely right. And thanks for this opportunity, by the way, our yearly update. I know you folks have been awfully busy this morning. We have Jim Carlson has been talking about the SWAMP project, and that stands for Stormwater Association Multi-Use Projects. And that sounds just like what's up your alley.
Well, it sure does sound like the same thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I can see.
I didn't know the acronym before.
What page are you on?
SWAMP is defined on page 5, number 2nd paragraph from the bottom.
Okay.
And our intent there, and it's never gotten off the ground. We haven't had an opportunity, and we've been talking and talking about this for a number of years now. And I'm excited about this rural land bank opportunity and for jobs in our county. And I can see, very well see, this swamp project going in there and integrating this stormwater facility with walking trails in parks, trees, and orchards along, integrated in there along with the businesses. You know, and what an opportunity here. And we need to start talking with folks, you're right, with the parks people, and see how we can better make these opportunities, exploit those, make them educational opportunities where, you know, kids can come out there and say, look, Mom, we can count these critters here, and that'll tell us about the health of this water. And I know why that grass is there. That helps to clean the water, and you're not supposed to cut it more than this. Earl can tell you all about that stuff. But you're right, there are opportunities here with swamp piggybacking on projects like this rural industrial land bank.
Yes.
Maybe we can start having those conversations.
And what the Parks Advisory Board is doing, I at least they're on track to do, I would encourage you to consider as well, and that is to post your tasks, your action items, so that we can all see what you're working on and be encouraged and enthusiastic with you to see it move along the line.
We can have our own little grid.
You already have a grid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And okay. So yeah, utilize it. And I compare the guy or the team building a boat in their basement. Lots of activities, lots of conversations, but until you get that boat out in the open, it's not very fruitful. And the idea is to know that you're appreciated, know that your work is valued. But what it really comes down to is the finished work, the progress, the status, the tasks, the action items, to make them specific enough so you can actually move them along. Because we've been talking about somehow better integrating parks and trails with stormwater facilities and clean water for years. But somehow we haven't actually turned it into a task where there's a particular action item sequence that champions it to get it done, because we're not, as councilors, going to have the opportunity to do that. We don't have the bandwidth. Parks Advisory Boards can't do it by themselves, but mm-hmm. you guys working together can actually champion that as an example of one of the tasks you could actually move along to completion.
Right. I do see us mired in mud, and I think to remedy that, we need to start opening up and collaborating with the parks.
One of the changes associated with our approach in 2015 for the current teams that we put together is actually their requirement to come up with a set of goals, objectives that are time measurable and bound for results. My background is super strong in goal setting and structure, and so that's part of what we've imposed upon each of the three teams. So hopefully we're moving, if I'm hearing correctly, in the direction that you're suggesting. We'll just need to do perhaps a better job of making it visible.
Yes, and to do nothing, too, because you guys are working on stuff we don't know.
Well, one of the questions that we posed is, in the past, it's been, in essence, an annual report. So am I hearing a desire to have, maybe something in some form, not a book, but something in some form, either written or on the website or some combination, with a greater frequency?
Well, I guess it would be to consider two different categories, because it appears that the default is the long-term general kind of documents and something that may be suitable for an annual report. But I would love to be able to see, and I'm just brainstorming here, just one commissioner idea here, included with that, specific tasks and action items that's near term that can actually move smaller, more bite-sized projects along, ideas. There's a number of ideas that can be acted upon, and the idea of the goal would be to take those ideas, make them tangible, make them specific, walk it through the process, and end up with a proposal that comes before us to say, or just to the staff that can implement it, and actually put it into action, get it done. So short-term goals, short-term action items is an opportunity. This all the specific bandwidth, all the horsepower that you have to take something that's an idea in general and turn it into specific. 1, 2, 3, 4, that's how you do it. That would be, I'd love to be able to see you guys have that encouragement and that freedom and that invitation from us. Some things will rise to the level, or maybe there's some process you need to bring to the board here to authorize it. But others can be just simply working with staff, if it doesn't rise to that level, just simply to get it done and work, and especially when it comes to the integration with the Parks Advisory Board, to move specific short-term projects along from idea to action to implementation.
So let me tag on to that a little bit. I guess I would turn to Earl and have him dig up that information that took us on our field trip. And that'd be a good place to start with the members of the commission, and kind of put it in their head as what we're looking at. I think we're looking at the same thing as Swamp here, and that would like be a start. And then everybody would say, "I know of another one to go look at." We found one that unlocked the gates that we thought would probably be a seasonal one. But there's deer tracks. It was so fresh. It must have been just ahead of us when we went out and walked around it. And then we also saw the potential of a path going down and connect another riparian area. So the potential is out there. It's so great. And so it could be so educational and recreational at the same time. Some of these areas we realize, you know, you have to stay on the path. But I think the tour would be exciting for all the members.
I think one of the concerns that the group has discussed in the past is that trying to use some of these water retention, detention facilities for other uses, there are certain liability concerns, particularly that are seasonal associated, and how do we deal with those? And thus we see these chain link fences of different heights and different colors surrounding what people would think, well, that's not a big deal, but for liability reasons. So that is certainly an item. Yeah. They will have
what
to
they, what they did, Dick, in this, in the one that I'm talking about, they used like a cedar post, those split cedar posts for the rails. And so you actually stay on the path and you walk. We actually walked around a pond that I understand that in different parts of the season comes a lot deeper. But it was quite obvious that the path was there. You had to stay on the path. And would probably be one of those that we'd still have to lock up in the wintertime or something like that. But
we've only actually, if we're going to stay on time, we've only got a couple minutes. So if there was an item that stood out to the four of you that you would like the Clean Water Commission to pay particular attention to this year with measurable, actionable results, if I'm hearing correctly, it's this sort of, from Commissioner Mielke, it's the sort of the swampish collaboration multi-use. Is that?
Yeah, there's a lot that we won't be able to do this
sure.
with.
Sure.
But to go out and find those that we can, and how we started talking with Environmental Services was there was one very close to my daughter's house, and it was fenced on one side and not the other. And so one thing led to another, and that was part of the tour. And then the department knew of a couple more, and we went and saw those too. So once you get out there and start looking, you look at that multiple use, and we always look at it as that county property belongs to the people. And if we have to put stay on a path signs, That would be good. But I picture a little sign over there saying, this is poison oak, don't touch, you know, this is an oak tree or whatever. Just like a big park and be so educational.
And when it comes to risk and liability, those are, as I see it, picture a racetrack and you have hurdles. And the natural inclination is for us to play it safe and say, well, you know, if we end up putting a trail around there, some kid's going to fall in and drown in liability, and so therefore we shouldn't do it, and it dies. In reality, it may be that that question should be answered. And if it's something that our own legal staff or risk manager or the board set policy that says we understand that risk and this is what we will do in order to make sure we can get over that hurdle, then we open the door to make progress. Because when you consider lakes and streams and ponds and water everywhere along in our parks and you name it, that's just part of our environment. And we don't fence all those off. And so I really encourage you, don't stop at a hurdle because you think it might be a liability and stop. If there's a hurdle, if there's a question it, bring it forward, find out what we can do and say yes or no. Should we somehow respect that wall because it's dangerous, or get over that hurdle just to make progress? If there be a particular project, I would say the one that we went out to a tour, what was the name of that place, Tom?
Oh. It didn't even have a name.
It was near a senior living area.
78th and 55th.
We can figure out what it is. Mark, you can help us to find out what that was. There's an area there. It could be a nice park and trails around it. We have so many volunteers who would love to be able to go out there and say, where can we build the trail? And to turn them loose to target an area like that. Pick one, see what we can do to make that accessible.
Well, I'm bringing up the rear on the Water Commission here, I'm afraid.
Gonna start someplace.
So I want to ask some boring questions if I can. First of all, I want to say that the excitement and the ideas about what the potential is for this commission and what contribution it can make is very exciting, and this kind of enthusiasm is so good. It's so good to hear. So the Clean Water Commission is ascribed per RCW. Is that correct?
Right.
And so does the RCW...
It's not an RCW, it's a county code.
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
It's a county code that we're talking about. It's 1330A. That's where this Clean Water Commission is found. It's not state law.
So in county code, it's 1330A?
Yes.
If you look on page 6, under opportunities, we've actually reproduced the code in its entirety.
Oh, yeah.
And specifically items 1 through 4 near the bottom of the page above the word summary cite the original intent, that is to look at program service levels, look at financing. Sorry.
These are findings. Are these items 1 through 4 what the code prescribes that you should be doing and you've not yet implemented?
I'll take that. What it is, back in 1999 when this code was established by the Board of County Commissioners, they said, these are the kinds of things we're looking at. They established this commission to basically be somewhat of a buffer, if you will, between the board and the citizens. Because at that point in time, what was happening is we were literally getting thousands and thousands of phone calls per year in the first 2 years of this program. So what happened was is that the commission went around to different parts of the county and heard what people are saying. So they gathered that information, put it together, and what they had done is that they put together a product which led to what is the fee that you see today, or what was the original fee of $33 per single family residential household.
Does the code outline the tasks they expect the commission to accomplish?
It does. That's why you see it written down here. If you look at what is Halfway down that page, on page 6, it talks about program service level, financing, policies on surface and stormwater issues, also the effectiveness of the stormwater management program. So what we were looking at is, what they were looking at back in those days was to say whether or not this is still an effective type of a process that we should be considering today. So that's what the current commission is grappling with. So they're looking for you to help them decide whether or not they should continue looking at this effectiveness part.
So this indicates that, for instance, the following items were not a focus in 2014. And so your question is, should these be?
Correct.
And that's feedback you're looking for from the commission.
Right.
And I think I've already heard some answers mm-hmm. about that. So if, for example, we said yes on policies on surface and stormwater issues, we would like you to recommend policies. How would you go about formulating those policies? I mean, they would come to us, I'm sure, for our review.
The way I would look at it is to come back and say, what kind of policy are we looking at? If we're talking about, like, for example, what Mador, Commissioner Mador talked about, was basically Councilman Mador, what he was talking about is safety. So we'd have to put together some people, have some understandings, have some talk. So one of the policies might be a safety policy.
So are these things that the commission believes they should be doing mm-hmm. and are looking for feedback?
Well, let me clarify. When I joined just a year ago, my nature is to dig through everything and question whether what we're doing makes sense, whether we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. This is my perception, right, is that over a course of time, that the Clean Water Commission had perhaps drifted away from the original mandate. And so we formed up some special working teams in an attempt to get projects moving forward that would have value not only to the county and the citizens, but would also bring value to the commission members, so that they had ownership, so that they could cite things that they were involved in and that had value. And I believe that is critical to maintaining involvement and commitment of members of any particular group. Associated with that, we went back and looked at what I'm calling the original charter, and said, you know what, in 2014, which is the only time frame I have to work at now, Susan's been out of this, of course, much, much longer, but in talking with staff as well, it appeared that the group had drifted away from some of those cores. Recently, Earl and I spent several hours together, and one of the things that we intend to bring back to the commission as we pursue these next couple of meetings is to review this in depth and determine whether or not we think it needs some updates, and if so, what are those updates, and what are the refinements, what are the things that we can define. So, yes, we're looking for feedback, certainly broadly and general at this point, but I think you can also expect us to come back to you as a group and say, we think there are some changes or refinements that need to be made in order to assure that the Clean Water Commission is relevant today and moving forward.
Susan, how long have you been on Clean Water?
Before it was established, when it was in this, what was that first committee called?
How long ago?
1999, at least.
So
I still had kids at home.
that's how we figure things out, isn't it?
Yes.
So that tells me what the period of continuity of your participation is. That's helpful for me to know.
At first, it was really ill-received by the county residents. I had my friends and neighbors and relatives calling me, and every time we had a meeting, I'd have to report, I had 28 nasty phone calls or 42 this month, or things like that. Right. My friends, my community are the rural folks up north.
So you've seen this go through different renditions and transitions.
Yes.
To come to where we are today, to this sort of reconstructed and reevaluating Clean Water Commission.
We had one of the early members was a fellow named Willie Burlett, and he said he was an old Boeing engineer, and he said our task is like making a U-turn with a 747. And so we're just kind of taking off the runway right now, and getting the word out there that we even exist. Piquing folks' attention that, hey, we have a clean water bill. What is this for? I feel like we're kind of at that platform right now where we're getting the folks' attention. And so
I hear that from the chair as well.
So, I can't believe we only allowed a half an hour for this, because I could see another hour needed. So I'm excited about turning something bad into something good. And that is that we have the ability and the opportunity to submit a plan to clean water under the lawsuit. The Lower Columbia Fish Recovery will be making the determination, but the exciting part is, no matter what the project is or which project they choose from anybody who wants to submit a project, Clark County will benefit. And that project has to be to make improvement in our clean water. And it might be something that we might be able to do a project along with the swamp idea or something like that. So it'd be pretty awesome to have the staff bring you up. I don't know when that has to be submitted or whatever, but I do know it's $500,000 that you have a chance to put forth into a project, and be nice to be the owner of some of those and have the opportunity to spend that kind of money.
Mm-hmm. Right in our own county.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that that's included in this here, the original definitions that were prescribed back when the commission was formed, and that you're questioning that. You're thinking, what can we do? How can we better contribute, make a difference? And you asked the question here, you mentioned the opportunity to refocus on the mandate and increase value of their input. So I would encourage you to go ahead and think. You've got all that bandwidth, you've got all that opportunity. You also have the imagination of how better can you contribute and what difference can you make. One of those things that would be kind of just a variation of that same sentence. Opportunity to refocus and maintain, opportunity to refocus on the mandate and increase the value of our stormwater facilities in a way that contribute to the quality of life, that contribute to make them, instead of liabilities, turn them into amenities. That better integrate with the rest of the facilities and parks and those kind of things. I would think that would be one of those things. Originally, the job was go do stormwater. Just get that job done. And now that we've done stormwater since 1990-something, the idea, opportunity now, and I think you're asking the question, how can we do that smarter? And one of those smarter ways is to don't keep it in an isolation, but open what we can to make it a plus and not a minus. So you're asking the right questions. I think you certainly have our encouragement to redefine and expand or refocus how best you guys can imagine that these things that start out as negatives, you got to do it kind of stuff, to now we get to do it, to somehow turn these utilities into amenities.
I guess for me, one of the things that's important, I believe, for any group is to have a good vision. Who are we, where are we going, and how can we contribute and generate value? And I think there's an opportunity to come back and revisit the vision of the Clean Water Commission and to question everything, which is what I'm attempting to do in my brief tenure, to move the group in that particular direction and get the group excited to not only come to the meetings, but my personal goal would be, as openings occur, that Mark would be flooded with people demanding to be on the Clean Water Commission because they see it as exciting, something
right.
that will really make a significant difference. And so over a course of time, that's probably one of our measures, if how many people are knocking at the door saying, I want in.
Yeah, problem solving, making a difference. Great.
Any other feedback or comments?
Just a follow-up on a point that was made in here. We have not addressed a summary of revenues and expenditures by the watershed, and then it goes on to say zip code or other easily identifiable geographic means. That may be necessary. I think that's an intended comment in here. And so that's something that we might need to explore a little more about what you think needs to be happening there
right. And
what role the commission might have in that.
And I appreciate your comment. We have that kind of information. It's not going to be by watershed. It's just going to be by project. So we have projects that are basically for capital, for monitoring, education, so on and so forth. It's all part of the Clean Water Program. So with all that being said, we have those dollars, and we can make them available on a monthly basis or quarterly basis or on an annual basis. I think for this purpose, probably on a quarterly basis would be pretty good. And we can make that available to the Clean Water Commission and to the board.
Thank you.
As we continue to add more and more stormwater facilities to the list of what needs to be maintained, one of the other ways related to financing is to somehow find ways for volunteers in adopting some of these facilities to potentially be cared for by those. We have so many people that care about our environment. We're really strong here, just America in general, in particular Clark County. Really strong with so many people that care about our environment and look for opportunities. How can we make a difference? What can we do? Give me a pair of gloves and point me in the right direction. Tell me what to do. Because there's two ways to maintain these. And to some degree, our staff here, Public Works, needs to be able to go out there and mow and do things like that. But we can potentially open it up so that other citizens can do some of that work as well. Maybe they want to go plant. Maybe they want to go mow. Maybe they want to be able to maintain some of these things. We clean some of these things out. And somehow we need to be able to enable them to know, here's the list of stuff to choose from. What do you want to do? And here's the locations. That way we can maintain them better and cost less.
We do know that Washington State University has extensive programs about clean streams. The city of Vancouver participates with that. And what they actually do is take classrooms of children out and they adopt a stream and they do water testing. They do water temperature testing. They look for little creatures. There is a summary of that. I think it's in the spring where all the students come together and I've been to it a couple times at the Water Center or Washington State University.
Yep.
And the children are there to present their results.
Exactly.
And you talk about buy-in. You get the children, you get the educational institutions, you get the parents,
yes.
You get the siblings, mm-hmm. You get, you know, it's so those kinds of partnerships, as Councillor Mador and Melky have indicated, there are already some out there.
Right.
That there's probably a niche for us.
We already, if I may interject, we already are doing a lot of that stuff. What you're referring to is the Watershed Congress that's out at Washington State University campus. We're part of that. In fact, what we do, we go beyond that. We're part of the Washington Green School program, which actually goes to the different schools. We ask schools whether or not they want to participate, and all they have to do is do what are green school type of activities, basically making sure that they don't put oil down the drain, making sure that they don't do dumb stuff on their property. So what they do, they go through a process. You get certified by an independent entity called the Green Schools, Washington Green Schools, and then they can check off the box. And if they do it, and they do it correctly, and make sure that they also follow county code for stormwater practices, they will get a reduction in their stormwater fees. So we're involved in a lot of those programs and activities.
So, in my closing remarks, I'd like to let you know that we're encouraging our engineers and other developers to redesign stormwater facilities so they're easier to maintain, preferably with a lawnmower. That's where we have rain gardens along the roads, etc. One thing that happened a while back, and we put a stop to it, and since that time, I saw a special on TV where someplace else they were using a they call them a herd of goats, or they call a herd something different. Anyway, they hired a gentleman, and he has a truck full of goats, and he just goes from one spot to the other, and he cleans up the facilities and keeps them working properly. So it's something to think about. Yeah. They're a lot cheaper than employees. they work for food.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When it comes to the degree of participation by volunteers, there's been, in the past, there is, you can only do so much. You can pick up paper, you can do stuff like that, but whatever you do, don't touch, you know, a mower or an edger or something like that. In reality, we removed that limitation in a number of cases, and we provide liability insurance so that they can participate in a more meaningful way. And so keep in mind, again, those hurdles, don't presume that there's a closed door there because of liability or because of insurance or because of volunteers can only do so much. Think through all of those things and say, why is it that way? Maybe if there's somebody that's being told, no, you can't do that, well, how can we say yes? What do we need to change so that we can say yes into a more meaningful participation?
I've had in my corporate career, in front of people, highly structured, very rigid, tight controls. I've had the unfortunate opportunity sometimes to
work for companies who were run by lawyers and always told us what we couldn't do, which always rankled. And so certain of us went the exact opposite and said, don't tell us what we can't do, tell us what we can do, cover our posteriors while we move forward to get things
sure.
done. So I actually understand the analogy by direct work experience.
And when you hear someone say you can't do that, the question is, really, what do I need to, who do I talk to change that?
My wife would attest to that as well.
Great.
Do you have feedback?
Nope. I appreciate your initiative and sort of renewing the focus on your core mission.
Thank you very much. Just know that you're really appreciated, and we want to make sure that you have all the encouragement, everything you need to be able to contribute to the degree that your imagination can come up with ways. Thank you.
Careful there. We have good imagination. Thank you very much for your time.
Yep.
If you have any additional feedback as you get an opportunity, then certainly please let us.
I would say use the grid.
Thanks.
Okay.